It's bonus pod, a 2-1-1.
Ding dong! You ring the bell. And a beautiful suburban house. Wow, this place is kept well. It's a beautiful family house. A dog is running around the front garden. It's ideal stuff. There's a swing by a tree. Woof! Goes the swing. Even the swing is woofing. And you knock, ding dong! And it's Pierre. And Pierre's got a mustache on top of his mustache. And he goes, I said just the one doorbell. And you go, what? The rules. And Pierre spins around and points at a huge board, a whiteboard of rules. And they're written in what you hope is red ink. And he points at rule number 5. Only ring the doorbell once. And you go, oh, sorry. Can I have a second? And Pierre goes, don't ask for it. And he points at rule number 8. Don't ask for second chances. But Pierre goes, come on in. I think she's almost ready. And you're nervous. You walk in. You got your corsage on your breast pocket. You're holding a bunch of flowers. And Pierre sees the bunch of flowers and he goes, are those for me? And you go, but Pierre doesn't laugh back. And you go, no, they're for Pippa. And Pierre goes, okay, fine. I guess it wasn't room for two. You can get two. And you're like, you still can't tell if this is a joke. And Pierre goes, he slowly lifts his finger and points at rule 3. And you read rule 3 and it says, always bring daddy some flowers. And you go, oh, I'm sorry. I'll memorize these for next time. And Pierre goes, just take a photo on your phone. And you take out your phone, you take a picture. And Pierre says, take a seat. And you go and you sit down in this living room. And you sit on a leather armchair. And you sit back into it and it goes, squeak, squeaky, creep. Because it's leather. And Pierre goes, don't squeak in the house. And you go, sorry. And Pierre sits down. And he lights a cigar. And he starts puffing on the cigar. And he offers you a puff and he goes, cigar? And you go, no, sorry, I don't smoke. And Pierre goes, why, you think you're better than me? And you go, is Pippa ready? And Pierre throws his head back and bellows, Pippa! Your fucking asshole's here! Your fucking piece of shit! Asshole's here! Pippa, he got you flowers, but not me. No flowers for daddy. Surprise, surprise. He thinks he's better than me. And then a voice from upstairs goes, you're embarrassing me, dad. And the voice says, I'm sorry, Podbud, I'm coming down. And Pippa, aka, which is short for Philippa, comes down the stairs. And it's Phil. In a beautiful floral dress with long hair. And she's also holding a bouquet of flowers. And Podbud, you stand up and you go, Pippa, you look beautiful. And I blush. And you walk over and you hand Pippa, aka me, your flowers you brought. And I say, thank you. And then you say, no, thank you. And you reach for the flowers that I'm holding. And I say, what are you doing? And I hand them to Pierre. And Pierre says, see, someone knows how to behave. Welcome to Bonus Pod.
Very nice. Quite sickening in parts.
Really disgusting. That's why I was laughing to myself, because I knew I was coming down in a dress and a wig. And that I called you dad.
Yeah,
I realized too late I'd called you dad.
Yeah, but it would be like that's what would happen if there was like another even more serious lockdown and we were on tour. It would degenerate into some kind of horrifying fake family.
Sort of role play family, yuck.
Yeah, really gross.
Do Do you like the moustache on top of your moustache?
I do like that. I have done it before and it looks mad.
Oh, great.
You put a like costume a... moustache on.
Yeah.
It does make poor you look crackers.
How are you at meeting girlfriend's parents?
I'm good at that.
Yeah, I'm good at that. I'm really good with mums. Mums love me.
It's because we're good boys.
We're good, well brought up boys.
Yeah.
Great.
It's the meeting of the actual girlfriend itself that is has always been harder for people like us.
I try to meet the parents first.
Yeah.
And they introduce me to
In a sort of
arranged marriage
system, we'd be cleaning up, winning over mums and dads left and right.
There's a very sweet video of I think the Indian parents and their daughter, and it's like she's recording a video for what I presume is like, I don't know, an arranged marriage directory or to be sent to prospective husband.
Yeah.
And in it, she's talking about her virtues. And she says, I wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and the mother just starts laughing and she can't stop laughing because this girl obviously does not get up early. And it's very sweet because they just start losing it at her trying to portray herself as this sort of early worm.
This early worm.
The early worm, who's even earlier than the bird. No one ever talks about the early worm, who is presumably earlier than the bird to get caught.
Yeah, so the worm should have slept in.
Yes, this is the conundrum.
Yeah, which came first?
The early
bird
gets the worm, but the late worm gets to live.
Yeah, it'd be funny to record a video of yourself saying, I'm an early worm.
I get eaten every day. Every day I get fucked over. I'm an early ass worm.
I wake up early just to have my life wrecked. Forever.
Wake up early before breakfast. I'm someone else's breakfast. Oh, it's rough, I tell you.
That's the kind of person I am. Well, Phil, I mean, our main pod it wasn't actually spicy, but it will be considered spicy.
It'll be considered spicy by the people with lemon and herb politics. It's true. But for most others, it should be fine. It should be digestible.
Yeah, I think so. Here's something that is not spicy, but is kind of spicy situationally. We have a thief.
We have a thief?
As in me and my girlfriend. We have a thief.
Oh, someone's been stealing your
deliveries.
Food packages, food boxes.
Yeah.
From outside. Is it always the food box that's stolen?
Well, it's the only thing that's left outside the front door.
Gosh.
It's happened three times. And we live in a nice block of flats.
And like this is... this is through the concierge, through the security gate, through a couple of doors.
Past the bouncers, under the sniper's watchful gaze.
Yeah, it's not just a front door on the street. So this is an inside job, yeah.
It's literally an inside job, and it's not like, I don't live in fucking, you know, Succession Towers, but it's a nice enough block of flats that no one in the block of flats is starving. If someone was starving to death and wanted... a yuppie-like collection of pre-measured vegetables, and that's all that stood between them and death, then fair enough. But it's
no,
other yuppies.
Into the building. I look at the building and think, everyone in this apartment building can afford their own food box delivery.
Yes, and many do, judging by the recycling.
Oh, man. I can't believe... And I've been to this flat so many times. I can't believe I've been to the scene of a crime so many times. It gives me shivers.
But what do we do, Phil? Because there's no CCTV. Do I buy a hidden camera? Do I catch the food thief?
I think you should put a camera... You should create a food box, a fake one, and fill it with a camera and loads of those springy snakes that come out of American novelty cans.
But what if I did put a camera and some heavy weights in, and then I see their face and they open it?
Put a tracking device in it. But it'll just say your building.
It'll just say my building, my block. Yeah. I'm genuinely thinking of putting...
You know what you can do? You know, so apparently... Have you seen... You've seen Good Time, right?
No, I still haven't.
Oh, shit. Well, there's this device in some... Apparently, in a bank robbery, stolen money can be fitted with like an explosive pouch of like dye.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so you open that and go, boof, and so suddenly your Culloden is dying. So when people looking for the thief, they go, oh, there he is with the stolen money blue dye all over him.
Yeah.
Well, you could do that. You should put like, because it's non-lethal. It's just some color. And so you put that in. Next time it gets stolen, keep an eye out for people looking like the fucking Avatar aliens walking around.
Just keep an eye out for Peppa Smurf. I think the lo-fi version is that I reseal the Gusto box and I put a lot of weights in it so it's hard to lift up. And then I just leave it outside the door and I just stand with my eye pressed against the peephole for an hour. Because the last time they stole it, Phil, between the knocking and between my partner going to see if it was there, 20 minutes gone.
20 minutes?
They had a 20-minute window. They were in and out. They had a heist gang, a nimble little acrobat, a hacker, a sexy lady.
A Richard Nixon mask.
A Richard Nixon mask. A van with a fake company on the side. Earpieces.
You should, yeah, I mean, you can put in a little camera, a little time lapse, like a, well, no, I guess you have to watch in time lapse, but put a little camera in there. I think you can trap this person easily.
Yeah. I need to
get. If you really wanted to.
But now I'm going to be the kind of person who has in their search history mini cameras on Amazon.
I think that's fine.
I don't know. I don't know. Much as I admire the piano playing of mini cameras. Yeah. So I've got a thief, Phil. Yeah. I'm going to try and track a thief.
How many boxes have you lost at this point?
Trois.
Three?
This has happened three times. We weren't sure. But a 20-minute window, well, that seals it. Because we also had the delivered photo from the guy.
Gosh.
So we know it arrived because there's a photograph of it in our front door from the guy.
That's amazing.
What 20 fucking minutes.
Of this thief.
What if it's our direct neighbor? I'll have to murder them? I don't really know.
Let's war games this.
Yeah.
You open the door and there they are, this person reaching down to grab the Gusto box, and they look up at you, and they're caught red-handed. Imagine I'm that person.
Okay.
So I go, oh, hi.
I go, thief! Thief!
I was just wanting to hand this to you.
I just straight into a spear tackle.
Oh, hey, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Oh, get off me.
No, I just kill them. I just murder them. And then I drag their body inside. And then I leave the Gusto box out as bait to catch the next one. Like in a moray eel.
Rah! Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then if you're watching the movie, it turns out I'm the problem. I'm the killer.
You are quite good at confrontation and conflict. I think you would be all right. I wouldn't know what to say.
I'm quite good at confrontation. I'm a big guy, so that's frightening.
Yeah.
What I'd want is to know where they lived as well, though. Because they know where I live. Demonstrably.
Oh, right. So you wouldn't feel it was a fair relationship until you knew where they lived.
Yeah.
You could help yourself to their deliveries.
Yeah, or if I had a camera and I caught them, I would just print out the picture of them doing it and put it all over the building.
Yeah.
And then they would be afraid to show their face.
Here's another situation.
Okay.
You set an alarm and you're watching TV. You set and the trap Gusto box is outside. And boo, 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 boo. Of course, the alarm. You get up. Yeah, here I come, you fucking asshole. You pom, 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 pom. You pound it down your hallway. Oh, it's curtains for you. You're finished. Pom, 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 pom. Oh, V5 faux fum.
My corridor's not this long for the listener. I wish it was.
It's mostly corridor, Pierre's flat.
I would get into V5 and then I'd be at my door.
And boom, you open the door and you go, caught red-handed, you little piece of... And you look down.
Yeah.
And it's a small Victorian orphan girl. It's the girl... It's the matchstick seller girl.
Okay.
And she's got a bit of soot on her.
Yeah.
And she's got fingerless gloves. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm just ever so hungry. And I love a pad thai. I could help myself. I don't want to steal. I know stealing's bad, but I'm just ever so hungry. And I can barely season my own wok. I'm so small and weak. I've had to steal a pre-seasoned wok. They, you know, you can, of course, you can buy the non-stick ones, but you don't get that lovely wok hay flavour that only the traditional Cantonese woks are carbon steel. I'm sorry, sir.
I'd put my hand up and go, you don't need to explain woks to me. That's what I'd say. And straight to the workhouse.
Wow.
I'll pick her up by her ankle and I throw her towards the guy dressed like an admiral from Oliver Twist. And he'd take her to the porridge factory and turn her into porridge. I assume that's how it works.
Well, good to know you're morally consistent.
No, if it was a situation like that, if I could somehow trust that someone who lived in a block of flats that objectively means they are not starving, and they were somehow starving, I would say, well, I'm happy to pay for your gusto box out of the kindness of my heart. Stop fucking stealing mine. Because you've made this a whole problem in my life now, and you turn me into the sort of person who browses cameras.
Yeah.
On Amazon. A man I swore to never be.
Has it affected your relationship? Has she lost respect for you?
No, me and my...
Because you aren't protecting the household.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend are like horrible characters from a Roald Dahl book now. How do we catch them? Perhaps a camera. That's right, said Bean. You know, like Bogus Bunce and Bean over here. Scheming how to catch that damn fox. Fantastic, Mr. Fox.
I mean, yeah, this really is some sort of Beano level stuff. This is really like...
Someone's stolen our turnips. It's so pathetic, but that makes me hate them more because they've made me become this.
They've dragged you down to this level.
Yeah, they are the villain. They are the villain origin story, so they can't complain when I'm a villain.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
What meals have you missed out on? Have there been meals coming that you've been really looking forward to that have been stolen?
it's all the kind of stuff you'd expect, yeah, like weird bakes and
I've never done a meal sort of delivery service thing. Never.
I've never done it till my partner introduced it to the flat.
Yeah.
It's a useful way to not have to go around a supermarket buying more than you need of an ingredient and then knowing you'll have to make that meal 5 times to justify the ingredient you bought.
Yeah. Yeah, walking around a supermarket guessing what you might need.
Yeah, just going, well, I need 10 grams of garam masala, so I guess I should buy 500 grams of garam masala that I will own forever now.
I'll buy the ceramic vase of garam masala.
Yeah, and then it makes you feel like an idiot if you do buy the small amount from the supermarket, because inevitably it's like actually more expensive than the bigger amount. And so it's good. And if you're a busy white collar city type, you know, the recipe's all there. You can keep the recipe cards. This is not a free advert for any of the meal delivery services, but inevitably they let you keep the recipe cards. So now you've got a load of recipes.
It'd be funny if they didn't let you keep the recipe cards. Like they send a guy over the next day and go, hand it over. I believe you have something that belongs to us.
And then they take out a little hammer, like they hit your knee with, and they go on your head, and it just deletes the memory of how to make that meal. And your eyes cross for a second. Ha! And then they go, how do you make pad thai? And you go, oh, there's peanuts? And they go, that's vague enough. That's fine.
Yeah.
You're going to get fucking nowhere with that. But yeah. So okay. I've got a thief, Phil. I got a thief. I'll keep this spice a Patreon-only escapade for now.
Yes. Well, keep us informed. It'd be great if you unmask them, Scooby-Doo-like, and are able to talk about it on
imagine if they're on, resolution to this. Imagine story. If they're on the Patreon, and now I'm forewarning them, because they're closer than I could have ever imagined to me.
Ah, who would understand you better than your own Patreons? Understand your weaknesses.
Yeah,
your schedule.
I get a post-it note saying, sorry about your pusto box. I'd be like... They know the memes of my life. Let's do some VIP Pirate Pump Bumps.
Of course, the thing about the Beatles that people don't know is that, Ringo never existed. There was no such man as Ringo, never has been. The drums you hear on the Beatles records are actually a trans-dimensional demon called Beselthamore, his name was. And we'd just, at the start of the recording session, we'd go down and me and John and George, we would sit in a circle and we'd light a candle and say, Beselthamore, come. We need some of your drumming. We need some drumming. And you hear him throughout Abbey Road, of course. We sit down, three of us, and we draw the pentagram into the ground. And then we just start jamming, and a sort of portal would appear by the drum kit. A sort of bluey, purpley portal would just appear suspended in thin air. And there's a portal that was ringed by a sort of black fur in a portal, and a hand would just poke out of the portal and grab a drumstick, and it just starts smacking the drums. And we'd say, "Thank you, Beselthamore, thank you for coming today." And so you just start smacking the drums and the cymbals, and it was good, you know, he knew how to keep in time, and he was a good drummer. We never saw his face, we only ever saw the hand stick out of the portal and sort of smashing away. And Ringo, or the man people think of as Ringo, is, he's just an actor. But yeah, it's just another funny fact about the Beatles that people don't know, is that our drummer was... just a suspended demonic hand.
Some spory comblents. Yes, yeah. Please.
If you remember, we had a lovely message from Andy about the "we do not sell large chocolate bars" shop.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because we were discussing late night dessert places and how weird and purple they are. Andy says, "A quick update regarding the 'we do not sell large chocolate bars' sign. After 2 years of undisturbed stasis, within a couple of days of the Bud Pod episode, the sign has disappeared from the shop window."
No way! We're changing the world.
Surely this isn't a random coincidence. Perhaps the proprietor is a pod bud. The plot thickens, Andy.
Did I say the plot thickens or the plop thickens?
The plop dickens.
The plop dickens.
The plop dickens.
How interesting.
Yeah. Is that not fucked? Is that not fucked?
We're out here spitting the truth, changing the world, getting people to take down their signs.
Exactly. So, the next message, let me just open the link, is from Margaret.
Margaret. How far to get your correspondence to us? Yeah. How far? It?
Quite far. Margaret is in Canada.
Oh, well, there you go. Very far, Garrett.
So Margaret says, "I saw this article and immediately thought of Marjorie. The headline is, 'Man who became trapped inside Edmonton public art, charged with mischief.'" So
he was trapped inside art.
Yeah, inside a
like
big
Mary
dome.
Poppins.
It's a big
Did
dome.
He get Mary Poppins into a painting.
Yeah, whereas he has a big dome made of spheres.
Right.
Public art.
Oh, I see.
"A man who became trapped inside a notable piece of Edmonton public art made of large silver spheres, was arrested soon after firefighters helped him escape the structure. Edmonton firefighters were called to the Talus Dome at 8:30 Sunday night. After someone walking by noticed a strange sight," full stop. Next sentence. "A man was inside the mound of polished stainless steel balls with no way out."
How could he see them?
How did you notice the man?
I'm going to look up these steel balls, which I also have.
He was running around in
Edmonton.
He was running around inside of it, starting to freak out because he couldn't get out. He climbed on top of the structure and fell in. Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's okay, funny. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. The Talus Dome. Right, yeah, it's a it looks it's like it's a pile of metal spheres. And there's a sort of opening in the middle.
There's
like a little patch in the middle. You can get stuck inside. It looks like
robot eggs.
Yes, it's horrible actually.
So Margaret says, I like to imagine he's one of Marjorie's distant Canadian cousins. My favorite part is the casually callous description from a passerby, quote, it was kind of like watching a mouse fall into a bucket. He was just kind of running around inside, so I had to freak out because he couldn't get out.
It does sound like a scrape Marjorie would get into, for sure.
Yeah, well, Margaret says, I suppose that reaction is where the Canadian man slash modern art victim and Marjorie differ. She would most certainly have left a breathy, helpful voicemail, presumably with the City Arts Council, politely describing the situation and asking for assistance. Or she might try and incorporate herself into the art out of a misguided sense of community obligation. No running in circles for her. That's true. She would sort of be like, I'm trapped. I'm surrounded by balls. Steel balls, shiny. Thanks for the shows. Kept my spirits up during a difficult time, including the wretched Canadian winters. Yes, fair enough.
Woof, yeah.
Yeah, oi.
Minus 40 degrees.
Fuck that. And I don't like heat.
No, I like the cold. And even that is too much.
Yeah, too much. Too much for me. The next message is from Steph.
Steph, you're the best.
Dear Simon and Fart Funkel.
I like that a lot.
That's good. Hope you're well, infinite praise redacted. Your review of the Elvis film led my friend and I to this question. If you received a prophecy that you would die on a toilet, would you purge elsewhere or continue as usual, facing the porcelain angel of death daily?
That's a good question. Well, there are fates worse than death, and I think one of them is never being able to take a shit again.
Oh, you can take a shit, Phil, just not in
a
toilet.
Oh, right, but not on a toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thing is about the prophecy is you can't escape these things, right? All that you know, you can try and avoid toilets for as long as you want, but eventually fate will conspire to get you sat on a toilet somehow. Maybe you slip, maybe you fall.
Yeah.
Maybe you sit on one thinking it's a chair. Maybe it's a display toilet.
Well, yeah, and I would want to know, is this a real prophecy or is this one of those trick prophecies where I avoid toilets my whole life, or I try to, and then I get shot in a bar somewhere in a cowboy town, and I stumble into the bathroom to try and escape the assassin, and I fall on the toilet and then expire.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
shoot you on the toilet.
One of those tricks.
Yeah.
Or like, I have a heart attack, and people need to get me up, and they're helping me.
Yeah.
I have a heart attack at the urinal. And then they drag me onto the toilet and I'm squirming. I'm going, no, no. And they just think I'm having a freak out because of my heart attack. And they plop me on the toilet and I'm dead.
Yeah. Then the prophecy is...
Fulfilled.
Would you, if a witch came to you, Pierre, and witches are real, and magic is real, and said, I can show you how you'll die. Would you want to? Would you want it?
I would say, okay, what level of detail are we talking here, witch?
The place, the method, and how unpleasant it'll be.
But I don't know when.
You won't know when.
But do I see it?
But you won't know when.
As I raise my finger to ask the witch. But you won't know when.
But you won't, I know what you're going to ask. You won't know when. Let me finish.
Do I see it in a vision? Or do you just tell me those 3 points of information?
I will just tell you. Because see how old you look, then you'll have an idea of when it is.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, you're not going to get me. People tried that before.
Imagine if you did have the vision and that was just, you were 90, but that was the day you dyed your hair in a show of insecurity.
Ah.
And you'd be like, oh no. I thought I was 50 in that vision. Method and place. No, I don't think I would.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer.
Because it would torture you.
Yes.
And why am I trusting a witch exactly, you know?
It's a given that witches are real and that they're right.
Okay, this, real I'm happy to accept, yeah. But right, yeah. I don't know. Maybe
APA, by, I don't make the rules.
Maybe it's only by finding out that it becomes true. It's another toilet trick.
Maybe.
So Steph's friend chose the latter, suggesting that fighting your fate could render you a modern-day Oedipus.
Ah.
Therefore, it's not worth sacrificing your dignity to avoid the unavoidable. So Steph's friend was like, whatever, I'll still use the toilet.
I agree.
I, on the other hand, chose adult nappies.
That's also a good solution.
Well, to an extent.
But it'll get you. If your fate's your fate.
If they
it is written in the stars. It is knitted in the threads of the fates themselves.
If they poop you, if you're gonna die on the poop machine, you're gonna die on the poop machine.
It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. You're gonna die on the toilet.
Yeah. Well,
we've got one more email.
Okay.
One more email. Gmail, because it's one of those rerouted ones.
Right.
Okay, it's rerouted. Oh, it's quite long. It deserves serious consideration. This is your teaser, Robin. It's a great message.
Yeah, we don't have time for a long one.
We don't have time for a long one. That's what they said on the daft toilet. That's what they said on the death toilet.
So this is the trailer.
Yeah, this is a trailer. This is a trailer. Did we read out Robin's last one? I'm not sure. It's very difficult to keep track of all this. I'm tired. Today was leg day, Phil.
Oh, no.
My legs are in absolute state.
I've been doing my titties recently.
Your sweet titties?
My sweet titties.
Are they getting gradually more square?
I don't know. I've never been able to get my titties going. My whole life.
Are you a little push-ups boy now?
Yeah, and I think I'm getting better at them. I think I'm getting stronger, but...
I was well into my 20s, and I could just do like 2 push-ups my whole life.
Right.
I could do like 2, and the second one would be bad. And then,
yeah.
Now I'm a push-up, push-up Pete.
Wow, push-up Petey.
Yeah.
Push-up Petey.
That's right.
Push-up-edia.
I'm Pushopedia over here. So keep at it. And the worst thing in the world is discovering that you can change your own body through hard work. I hate knowing that. I want it not to be true. Disgusting knowledge. Awful.
But look, we've run out of time here.
Yeah, find us on tour, guys. Find us on tour. Okay. Koji.
So the trailer for Robin's email is that Robin has sent us an email.
Yep.
Great. We have a mysterious trailer. Sometimes trailers have too much in them. Not this one.
Nope.
But thanks for being patrons. Thanks for listening in. We are on tour. We're doing shows. Check out our websites as ever. But have a good weekend, for goodness sake.
You better.
Bye.
Bye.